If you'll turn with me to Hebrews chapter 2 and verse 1, Hebrews 2 and verse 1, we see that there is a summary that is being given after the instruction by probably the Apostle Paul in chapter 1. And what God is doing for us, and he said, we must, because of what God is doing with his plan of salvation, Hebrews 2 and verse 1, give earnest heed to the things that we hear, lest we drift away. For if the word spoken through angels proved steadfast in every transgression and disobedience received a just reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great a salvation, which at the first began to be spoken by the Lord and was confirmed to us by those who heard him? God also bearing witness both with signs and wonders and miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. So we go back, of course, to not only the Old Testament, but also the New Testament, when God gave his Spirit on the day of Pentecost. So verse 5, he's not put the world to come of which we speak in subjection to angels. But one testified in a certain place saying, it's men that you are putting the world in subjection to. They will be under your guidance, your direction. What is man that you are mindful of him? Or the Son of Man that you take care of him? You made him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. You set him over the works of your hands. And you've put all things in subjection under his feet. So we come to the question here of God working with us. We need to take heed to what God says, and then the question is, what is man that you're mindful of him? Now, mankind has asked that question, no doubt, for ages, and that is, why were you born? Why were we born? That's not the subject today of the sermon itself, but it's on the subject of what is man. And as we get close to the Feast of Pentecost, and we focus in on the Holy Spirit, you think of spiritual matters. And I think of the Holy Spirit, I think of God being Spirit. You think of the Holy Spirit that God gives to us. You think of Satan, who is Spirit, or has a spirit body, better yet, and angels, who have spirit bodies. And then you think of men and what we are, and the spirit of man. So actually, the sermon today is on the spirit of man. I was telling my wife, it's been a long time since I've given a sermon on that subject. So we're going to go to Genesis 1 when we look into the subject about what is man. Genesis 1 and verse 26 through 27. Genesis 1. And by the way, the subject was understood much better, that is, concerning what makes man man. And women, women. When I say men, by the way, I'm talking about mankind. We're not leaving women out. Genesis 1, 26 and 27. Now, all of us are familiar with this scripture, and I won't stay too long with scriptures that we know, because I don't want to go over time, and I'm not sure how long this sermon will take. So, Genesis 1, verse 26. God said when he first created mankind, let us make man in our image according to our likeness, and let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, etc. So God puts in subjection the fish, the birds, the cattle, every creeping thing, and God created man in his image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. So we have us then being created in the image of God. And what does that mean? What does in the image of God mean? Now we do know scripture that I'm not even going to get to, but in 1 John chapter 3, and I believe it's verse 2, 3, right in there, it tells us that we will be like Jesus Christ. So when we think of Jesus Christ, we know that he was changed to a spirit body, and he was able to appear, he was able to disappear, but this scripture is not going quite that far yet. We are now made in the image of God. right now were made in God's image. Is that just a spiritual image? And God really doesn't look like us if he were to come down when he comes down among us at the end of the 1,000-year period, because he will come down when Christ hands all rule over to the Father. So we know that God the Father is going to dwell with man. Christ first, ruling, and then God the Father. So what is this image? Is it a spiritual image? Or is it that we look like a physical type image? God is eternal. Man is not. So first and foremost, we know that God is spirit, right? God is spirit. No man has seen him. No man has heard his voice. Only women. Mankind has not seen God or heard his voice. So that's what Scripture tells us. So God is spirit. The reference there would be John 4 and verse 24. We could turn to these, but if it's a little bit peripheral, I'll just give you the Scripture, and you can look that up later. John 4 and verse 24. God is spirit, and we worship him in spirit, don't we? Now, as far as mankind, and we will be coming back to Genesis if you want to hold your finger there, but mankind, human beings, are the following. Let's go to Ecclesiastes chapter 3. Ecclesiastes chapter 3. And starting out in verse 20. In fact, we'll just go there. We're talking about man and beasts, okay? In fact, let's do pick it up in verse 19. It would be better. What happens to the sons of men also happens to beasts. So now we're comparing human beings to animals. One thing befalls them, and what is that? They both pay taxes. They both die. So we know that, you know, death and taxes is the is a statement always when you say, what is common to all men, death and taxes. Well, what is common to men and animals? And it's death. One, as one dies, so dies the other. Surely they all have one breath. Man has no advantage over beasts. All is vanity. Now, speaking from the perspective of Solomon, we know that he was in a very bad state. Solomon is going to build high places where you can worship Chemosh and Molech. You know that his understanding has been taken away. But that doesn't mean that all that he said is wrong. He is quoting from Scripture that mankind is made from the dust of the ground and animals are made from the dust of the ground. So that is common to both. So all go to one place, all are from the dust, and all return to dust. Now we're going to come back to Ecclesiastes a little bit later, but that just tells us God is spirit, mankind is dust. And we could go to 1 Corinthians 15 if we have time at the end of the sermon and show also that we are a natural man, and we are from the dust of the ground. Now, for our young people, it's very important to understand the subject, because if you ever leave the church, go to another church, you're going to find that they're going to teach the immortality of the soul. So understanding the subject is very, very important when it comes to the difference between what we in the Church of God believe and what we in the Lutheran church, when I grew up, believed. And that was, we have an immortal soul. There's actually a living something within us, so that when we die, something else stays alive, goes to heaven, and looks down at their relatives sinning, or whatever they're doing. You can imagine. Grandma goes to heaven, and grandma sees everything. So that is the way that is taught. If you go to a funeral, young people, you will hear that. That people, they go to heaven, they don't really die, they go to heaven. And they are alive in a different body, and they're looking down on us. So we ask the question then, what is unique about man? What is unique about us that is different from animals? And we're going to see that as we go along, and as this as kind of an aside of the main topic, spirit and man, because both intermix when you understand. Because some think the spirit in man is also an immortal soul. And we're going to see how the spirit in man also is not that soul that goes to heaven. Okay. Genesis 2 and verse 7, I said we would be coming back to a Genesis. The Lord formed man, Genesis 2 and verse 7. The Lord formed man of the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils, the breath of life, and man became a living soul, a living being, actually it says here, and depending on what you have, King James, New King James, the Hebrew would be the same. So what man became was a living soul. Now, if we talk about nephesh, which we will, nephesh is not living soul. What we have to have with this is, for a soul to be living, it's got to have che, which is living. Soul is nephesh. Now, sometimes you will read nephesh, and it's just going to, because it's talking about living creatures, living, you know, human beings, it'll just use the term nephesh, and so that's why you see sometimes it is living, okay? But other by itself, in reality, to be technical, you have to have che, living, nephesh, soul. And that's very important when you talk about the immortality of the soul to understand that, because we'll see something that is unique. We then, going back to this, we are living souls. So we are living, of course, living, breathing creatures, and we are souls. Now, what is a soul? Do we have a soul, or are we a soul? And the answer is, we are souls, is what we are. We are souls. Now, something else that is a scripture I would suggest all of our young people mark, and that is Genesis 1:24. Genesis 1:24. Then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Now, if you're a really good Anglican, and you are one of the translators of the Bible, and you believe in an immortal soul, you're not going to want to say that the animals are living beings like you find in Genesis 2 and verse 7. You're not going to want to do that because you're going to want to make a difference. You're going to have living creatures, and then you're going to have living beings. But guess what? This is also che nephesh. And I would put, if I were right now sitting there and you don't have a note on this, I would just take living creature and circle it, or do it when you get home if you don't want ink to bleed through your nice new Bible or whatever you have. But anyway, somehow make a note in there that living creature of Genesis 1:24 and living being of Genesis 2:7 is the same. Exactly the same. So now you have the earth bringing forth living creature according to its kind, cattle and creeping things. Would anybody take a look at a cricket and say, there goes an immortal soul? And the answer is, no, I don't think so. If you did that to some of your Catholic friends, you know, as you're talking about the immortality of the soul, and you look down and you see a spider, you can say, there goes an immortal soul also. And if you really want to get the point across, then it'd say, no, 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 no. And you would say, well, you're right. It's not an immortal soul, but it is a soul, and it is a living soul, exactly like we are. Prove that to me. Genesis 1:24. Creeping things are living souls. So you have creeping things, beasts of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. So Genesis establishes the premise to so many doctrines, doesn't it? Basically, most doctrines, maybe all doctrines, are established in the book of Genesis, because it is, in fact, the beginning. Okay, so we'll leave it there. In nephesh, you have Strong saying that you have soul, self, creature, and life. It's actually translated soul well over 400 times in the Old Testament, and also it is translated life about 170 times or something like that, secondarily. And it's not always wrong to say Naphish's life, because most of the time when speaking in context of that Naphish, it would be living. But oven by itself, it's not living. So we'll see Ezekiel 18, 4 and verse 20. Ezekiel chapter 18 and verse 4. Here we find what can happen to a soul. So right now we're just finding out what is man, and we find we are made in God's image. And here we find in verse 4 of chapter 18, behold, all Naphesh are mine. All souls are mine. The soul of the Father, as well as the soul of the Son, is mine. So your kids, whether you like it or not, are just like you, they are also souls. Well, we like that. But the soul who sins shall die. Okay, kids, do souls die? Kids, do souls die? Yes, souls die. They do. Souls die. They're living at the time. They're not dead yet. So in this case, when speaking of soul, it's a living soul. It's understood by the context. But that soul can also die. It can become then a dead soul. So you can have dead souls, meaning creeping things, dead cattle, meaning a dead soul, the cattle, cow being a dead cow, dead souls. And the Bible is very clear on this. Why don't theologians fess up and use exegesis rather than eisegesis? You know, why do they, in their studies, not just take the Bible and take it literally when you can see by the context that it is literal? Now, sometimes it's symbolic. We understand that. But when you read scriptures like this, you know it is not symbolic. They symbolically die? No. The soul that sins dies. The wages of sin is death, isn't it? Okay, so we've come that far then, and we've seen also verse 20 says exactly the same thing. I won't read it, but basically, you see, the soul dies. Verse 20. A little bit expanded on verse 4, but saying the same thing. So we have souls dying. Now, when it comes to Satan the devil, he loves to counterfeit what God has done. It's a counterculture, I guess we would say. So he knows that God has established that we live, and we all think of that. God is all about life. And when it comes to a funeral, we do not talk about death except something that is very temporary, something that we human beings, when we die, know nothing about. It happens so quickly that you can almost not call it death. You can call it a very quick sleep. And by the way, the word that is used, in a moment, in the twinkling of the eye, whatever that Greek word is, I forget what it is now in Greek, but it's something like, Adam. Something familiar with Adam. Something you cannot break down anymore. You cannot break down the part of sleep where you say, slept for an hour. You can break that down into 60 minutes, okay? So a minute. You can break the minutes down to seconds. But the word that is used in the twinkling of an eye, concerning our death, is something that cannot be divisible. So it is, what, nanosecond? Can that be divided? So this cannot be divided. So that's how quick it is. So if we are on our deathbed and we have our family around us, we can just say, we'll see you in a moment. And that's too long. It really is. Really comforting when we understand about death. But what God says then is, where are we at? I didn't come to the scripture yet, did I? So, guess where we're going? And you can enter into life right away. The counterfeit culture of Satan the devil wants to counter the life part. In other words, you will not die at all. And so we have in Genesis 3, let's come to that scripture next. Genesis chapter 3. Here in Genesis 3, we find that Satan comes along and he tells Eve something that God did not tell her. Genesis 3 and verse 1, serpent is very cunning, and he asks her the big question, has God said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? Then we skip over to verse 4. The serpent said to the woman, you won't die. God said, you will die, but you know, you won't die. God knows in the day that you eat of this tree of the knowledge of good and evil that you're going to be like him. Of course, they realize that God is living. God is eternal. God would have had time to explain to him where he's come from, where he's been. That he's always okay. So he is countering now and saying, you won't die, and that strikes of immortal soul, doesn't it? So this is where God has led all the churches. If any of you go to, well, I say all means most, there's hardly any churches out there that tell you that when you die, that you're dead, like Rover, you're dead all over, we used to say, you're just dead and you don't know anything. They won't say that. They'll say, no, you have a soul, and you won't die. And now we've proved already by these scriptures that nephesh can be living or it can be dead. And we are souls, is what we are. So does man have eternal life? You think of the scripture where Paul was talking to the Romans, he said, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life. Now, if you're going to a wedding, and you know that you're going to give a gift. So we talk about the gift of eternal life. Nowadays, we have registries, and you can go into the computer, and you can see exactly what they need, what they want, what, you know, for starting up in their new life. And you can see the gift that they need. Now, if they have a toaster already, do you give them a toaster? Do you buy them a toaster? And the answer is no. So if we have eternal life already, is God going to give us now eternal life as a gift after creation? And the answer is no. God is not going to give us what we already have. There's a scripture also in Titus 1 and verse 2. Titus 1 and verse 2. And this is where it says we have a hope. And what is that hope? Titus chapter 1 and verse 2. According to godliness, in hope of eternal life. Now, if I have something already, do I hope for it? Man, I hope that I can buy a 2001 S80 Volvo with 242,200 miles on it. The answer is, I have already got one. It's sitting out there in the parking lot. I'm not hoping for that type of car. I'm hoping for another Volvo that's a few years old that only has maybe 50 or 60,000 miles on it. Or better if I can get it cheaper. I was told that the other day, but Mr. Pinelli, by the way, it was a nice celebration of his going away. I think most of you knew that he retired on Tuesday officially. But anyway, he told me that I am so Scottish that I could pinch a penny for everything it's worth. And I said, no, I'm Scots-Norwegian. And you pinch it even more when you're Scots-Norwegian. Actually, I don't pinch pennies that much. I don't know why people think I pinch pennies. So I only carry 4 pennies with me at all times because you don't need more than 4 pennies in your pocket at all times. You wear holes in your pocket. Now that's talking, that's getting, what do you call it? There's a word for that. It starts with an A, and it's not good. But anyway, the point is, you do not buy something that somebody already has, right? We don't have eternal life, so you don't hope for it. Now kids, I'm really talking to the kids here because I know the adults now are thinking that I'm going way off the beat here, but kids, think about this. If you already have an immortal soul, is your parents going to buy you one? The answer is no. Okay, now let's come back to where man is. Ecclesiastes 3 and verse 21. We got to verse 20. But Ecclesiastes chapter 3, this is right after the book of Proverbs, chapter 3 and verse 21. Here's where we see the difference between men and animals, and also here's where we're going to tie in the future, the resurrection, and eternal life, and how we can have eternal life, because we don't have it now. Verse 21, who knows the spirit of the sons of men, which goes upward, and the spirit of the beast, which goes down to the earth? And we're going to give you some demonstrations here just a little bit later in the sermon, probably in about 10 minutes. So who knows? The spirit of the sons of men which go upward, and the spirit of beast which goes down to the earth. So let's keep this in mind. There's a difference then between men and animals. Even though we have with animals a soul, a k-nephesh, a living soul, you have a difference because when this animal dies, it has a spirit that goes down to the earth. With mankind, and we had a wonderful dog. We had Chetina was her name. She was an Alaskan Malamute, so we looked for, you know, geographical locations up in Alaska, and there was a lake called Chetina Lake, I think it was, or Chadina. I'm not pronouncing it right. But anyway, we said, oh, that's a good name, Chetina. We call her Chino, or China is what we called her, actually. And she would come to that name. So she was an absolutely wonderful dog, fantastic dog. She died at the age of 9, and it was a tremendous loss to our family because the kids were like a year old when we got her, a year and a half, I think Elena was. But, you know, I come across a lot of Alaskan Malamutes, and they're the same. Not exactly the same, but some of them are almost exactly the same. I mean, they're so close. Beautiful, wonderful dogs. This was a 90-pound Malamute. Wonderful child's pet. Hated the hot weather. So, shed horribly. And this Malamute, by the way, did not bark. It was, oh! Drive our neighbors crazy, you know, hear that. There's a wolf in the neighborhood. That's all she would, maybe just a little yelp once in a while. But it was that sound that I just made. Now, when our dog Chetina died, there was a spirit there and didn't go to God. It went to the earth. But God has all these Malamutes that are different than human beings in that they're pretty much the same. They can be, you know, depending on how they're treated when they're first born, they can be, you know, an angry pup. Or they can be, if treated properly, kind of like the same one that you had before. No difference. God knows that. But the spirit of man goes up. The spirit of man goes up. Now let's go to 1 Corinthians 2, 9 and 10, because we see then there's a difference between men and animals. Mankind has a spirit in man, 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 9. 1 Corinthians chapter 2 and verse 9. And here we find that God is talking about understanding the things of God, understanding that which is spiritual. So we'll pick it up in verse 9 because it's starting with the Spirit of God. And we realize that the Spirit that God has given us is likened unto a spirit in man. Okay? There's a similarity with the Spirit of man and the Spirit of God. Verse 9, eye has not seen nor ear heard, nor has entered into the heart of man the things which God has prepared for those who love him. But God has revealed them to us through his Spirit, for the Spirit searches all things, yes, the deep things of God. Until we have God's Spirit, we really don't know God as we will know him when we have God's Spirit. Because there's a revelation, there's an understanding that God gives us. We can know about God like Job, I mentioned that before. We can hear about God with the hearing of our ear. We can be obedient to a certain, you know, carnal respect. We can have the spirit of our father and our mother, which gives us tremendous, you know, upence on the world. We can be raised in a better culture like the nation of Israel was supposed to be raised in. So there's many, many blessings to be born into a family where the parents have God's Spirit and where we are sanctified by God, our children, sanctified by God. But let's go back to the world now. With the world doesn't understand a thing about the Spirit of God because they don't have that Spirit around them, do they? At least our children have that Spirit around them, teaching them, guiding them, and helping them to understand much more than they would have otherwise. So it talks about, first of all, the Spirit of God, understanding the things of God. Verse 11, what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him. Now I noticed in the sermonette that one of the scriptures that was given by Matt, I think it was in Ezekiel, where it talks about the Spirit that God would give within us. So there's not too much difference where that Spirit is. Spirit in man is in us. And according to what we just heard in the sermonette, the Spirit that God would give us in the heart of flesh, and that would also be like reading 2 Corinthians 3 or 5, where the whole chapter goes into that. God is going to give us a heart of flesh, but God's Spirit is also within us as the Spirit of man is in us. So what man knows the things of a man except the Spirit of the man which is in him? Does a living creature, in the way of creeping things, know anything about a human being? Except there's something to bite. So we get the point, don't we? God has given an animal or a creeping thing. I guess creeping things have a spirit. Goes down to the earth. So a spirit is pretty small. There's instinct in an animal. It's programmed, and it's programmed in different ways depending on the animal. Some are programmed to be people-oriented. Some are programmed not to be. Some are programmed to have memory. Actually, they do have memory. It's interesting, a program that I heard on NPR, and that is concerning the Iron Curtain. When the Iron Curtain was raised, I think it was talking about Hungary. But anyway, there was an electric fence, and the deer population, which had not been around an electric fence for 20 years, still will not cross over that area where the electric fence was 20 years earlier. So there is a memory, and mama deer passes on to baby deer, stay away from that electric fence 20 miles from here. Well, you know it's not talking, and we're not saying that you shouldn't go out and kill your deer because they're teaching their kids in school. Now, it's different, isn't it? But there's something that is passed along. So the capabilities of God's creatures are amazing. They are, but they're still not human beings, still not the same. There's not a building of righteous character that is possible within animals. So we have the Spirit of man which is in him. Even so, no one knows the things of God except the Spirit of God. So we know what's going on with each other because of the Spirit in man. Now we've received not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God. And it goes on then, verse 14, the natural man does not receive the things of the Spirit of God. So we know now there's a living nephesh. We know that there's a spirit in an animal that doesn't understand the spirit in man, does not understand the things of the spirit in man. Spirit in man understand other who have the spirit in man, but the spirit in man does not understand the things of God. They just don't. We have to have the Spirit of God to understand. Now, Acts 7, in verse 59, this spirit is unique to every one of us. Acts 7 and verse 59. Here when we see that Stephen was dying, that there was something that he said. He saw in vision Jesus Christ, Acts 7 and verse 59, and here's what he said as he was dying. They stoned Stephen as he was calling on God and saying, he saw Christ in this case, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. So there's a spirit, and this is not the only place. I think Luke 23 is another place you could go to show the same thing. Receive my spirit. Now that is really great to understand because we all have a certain spirit. The spirits of just men made perfect. You could go there too. The spirits of just men made perfect. So there's something that happens, and I was talking to Marion all the way over. What happens with the spirit of God and the spirit of man? Do they combine? Like, boom, you know, when God gives us Holy Spirit, do they go like this? We don't see spirit, so we don't know exactly what takes place, but if the spirit of man is in us, and if the spirit of God is also placed within us, then we are growing to perfection. So you have the spirit of just men made perfect. There is a spirit, meaning we are made in his image. It's a spirit in man that causes us to be in his image. Whether we look like him or not doesn't really matter, and I don't think that we don't look like him. We know what Christ looked like, right? We know also he could cause others not to understand who he was. So he could transform himself or reform himself a little bit, whatever the case. But the point is, we have a spirit that is much like God's, and it's a spirit that can dwell with God's Spirit, or unite with God's Spirit. And I won't go farther than that because the Scripture doesn't. We just start speculating when we say, well, exactly how does this happen? Is there a box here and is there a box here? And then the two boxes come together and it's one box. You know, we don't know. We can just say that that Spirit causes us to become perfect. The Spirit in man. Okay, so 1 Thessalonians 4, verses 13 through 17... 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, here it tells us about the resurrection. I don't want you to be ignorant, brethren, concerning those who have fallen asleep, lest you sorrow as others who have no hope. So we do have hope of eternal life. So this is coming back to what we hope for. Hope always is talking about eternal life. Every single time we read that word. Verse 14, if we believe that Jesus died and rose, even so God will bring with him those who sleep in Jesus. So individuals are going to be brought back with him. For this we say to you by the word of the Lord, that we who are alive, us, individuals, and remain until the coming of the Lord will by no means precede those who are asleep. The Lord himself will descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of an archangel, with the trumpet of God, and the dead in Christ will rise. Now if I die, I rise, it's me. I know nothing in the grave. I'm a dead soul, but now I become a living being. Again, only this time with a different body, and if we have time, I'll go to 1 Corinthians 15 at the end. So I want to show us an analogy. I pulled out an old unit that makes noise when you turn it on. But it is so old, when I put something in it to listen to it, it didn't talk the way it should have. So it made a very old man out of this tape. So this young people is a tape recorder. See this? It actually is likened unto a tape recorder. Now what I'm going to do is pull something out here. But this is a nephesh. Okay? And by the way, in the New Testament it would be a soma, just a body. Okay? In the Old Testament they have one word, nephesh, then they put adjectives to it to define it. In the New Testament, you actually have three words that you can come up with. We won't necessarily go there today because it's unnecessary, but this here is a nephesh right here. Now, I have a little thing here and I can turn it on. Play, it says play. Nothing's happening to it. This here is a dead nephesh. But guess what? We're going to make it a living Naphesh. There we go. Now we have a living Naphesh, and now I'm going to turn it on. It's not a straight line. It's making noise like this. But this is a living Naphesh in a coma. Is what it is. So that's what you have. Now you have a soul, okay? Dead soul. Okay, now we have a living soul. How many of you remember this back in about 68? Okay, now you have a living soul, but again, there's nothing there. What makes this unique? If you want to personalize this tape recorder, we have, guess what, kids? This is a tape. Now, this tape is an animal tape. And I almost thought of bringing something that would make, you know, all types of... something like that. Okay. But it's an animal. Okay, so... We actually had contests back in camp years ago as to who could make the best orangutan or chimpanzee song. Chimpanzee sound. Okay, so now what we have here, if this were a tape of an animal, you'd put it in and it would make whatever was programmed onto this. Okay? So the way this is programmed, and that's not the exact word because it's tape, you're taping something, but God actually then programs a tape so that it will then receive the information God wants in that animal, and he sticks it in the brain, okay, like intelligence. Is that the name of the program that's out? Okay, so stick with me now. What we had was a dead soul. Now we had a living soul, and now we have a tape soul. So here's what we have now. It worked better than this yesterday. It's slowly coming back to life. Not doing a very good job of it. This reminds me of a movie that came out years ago, and they, you know, just trying to come back, life coming in. But anyway, I told you the tape wasn't very good. It's an old tape recorder. Really, really old. 1976. But you hear that, okay, kids? This is a living Naphesh with a spirit in man in it. That tape is a spirit in man. So now, when an animal, well, let's do this first. When a human being dies, dead soul, okay, totally, completely dead, dead soul, okay, dies, buried, and guess what? This goes up, and it keeps going up to God who gave it. With an animal, goes down. But God can make you the same animal in the millennium if he wants to. Same animal. He can replicate that animal if he wants to. Okay? So, it's not like, and I'm sorry to, you know, surprise kids, but God can replicate that same type of animal. You'll think you have the same one, the same kitten, you know, the same one. But with us, we're going to be real. We're going to be absolutely the same. So God will take, at the resurrection, he'll take that tape and he'll put it into us. Now, when we are resurrected, and I think what I'll go to is 1 Corinthians 15. 1 Corinthians 15. So what do we have that's going to be different when we're resurrected? This is going to be different here. 1 Corinthians 15. Someone will say, how are the dead raised up? So here you've got your body in the ground. And how are the dead raised up? What body do they come up with? Is it going to be the same tape recorder? Foolish ones, what you sow is not made alive unless it dies. This is 1 Corinthians 15, verse 36. What you sow is not made unless it dies. And what you sow, you do not sow that body that shall be but mere grain, perhaps wheat or some other grain. But God gives it a body as it pleases, and to each seed its own body. All flesh is not the same flesh. So this is a certain type of, not flesh in this case, but it's a certain type of material. And you go, and it's comparing now what we have now, the flesh, with what we will have. So, now verse 40, there are celestial bodies, terrestrial bodies. The glory of the celestial is one, and the glory of the terrestrial is another. There's one glory of the sun, one of the moon, one of the stars, they differ. So also is the resurrection of the dead. The body is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. Sown in dishonor, raised in glory. So what we have is, now this is corrupted already because you see that when I put a tape in it, it just doesn't play too well at all. The things of the flesh are corruptible. So we go on in verse 44. It is a natural body, it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. So what's going to come up out of the ground is going to be able to appear and disappear and function, go through walls. If you have a race to Mars, you'll see who can think the fastest. The one who thinks the fastest gets to Mars, okay? It's just a matter of, and that's just no competition like that in the world tomorrow, but we still think that way as human beings. So what we have then is a different body, but now as we come here, is this tape recorder, can it think by itself? And the next question is this functionable? Can you hear this without the tape recorder? And the answer is no. So the spirit, of and by itself, non-functionable unless it has a body to it. So what God is going to do is take the spirit, combine it with a different body, and now it functions. The spirit, of and by itself, it's like a thumb drive. Now we get into new technology here, so we have the younger people understanding this. All the older people understood the first one. Right? A thumb drive, and people say, thumb? What is a thumb drive? What do they call it? I used to call it a thumbnail drive, but I was corrected. It's a thumb drive. So it'd be like taking a thumb drive, has all the information on it, but you can't do anything with it. If you stuck it in your ear, you wouldn't be able to hear it. You gotta have something that plays this thing. And it's the new body that functions with the spirit that has been made perfect during our life. So that's where we come now to the final section here of what we are allowing to be programmed. This spirit, this tape that we have, or this thumb drive, or this huge computer that we have that has all of this gigabyte, terabyte, and all these other words now where we have so much storage, we are storing everything that we see, everything that we smell, everything that we taste, everything that we hear, and everything that we, there's five senses, but, and everything that our wife with the sixth sense also tells us. Okay, so we have six senses, right? If you have a woman around. So you have these senses, all that is being stored every time you have a camera. And you are literally having you don't forget it. You don't. And guess what? We can corrupt this tape. And from what I played, I think it was corrupted already. It was either the tape, the spirit, or it was the tape recorder, one or the other. I think this is okay. From what I can tell, it spins okay. But we can corrupt our tape. So now the question I have is, are you corrupting your tape? Are you corrupting your spirit? Because it is the spirit of just men made perfect. And that's what we have to think about that whatever we do, whatever we say, whatever we think, whatever happens, we are either building character or we are corrupting what God has given us. One of the two. And it's going to be there. And we just hope that it can be erased, that some things can be erased. But let's go to 1 Corinthians 15:33. Since we're there right now. Do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits. So we can have good habits, you know, in this tape, in the spirit that we have, good habits. We learn to think positively, right? When it comes to anxiety, do not be anxious. We learn with anxiety, we go to God with thanksgiving, be anxious over nothing, whatever you think. So when it comes to living, we can take the Bible and we can stick that Bible in our mind. And when it comes to problems, what comes is Bible, scripture, information that comes from God's Word. And that's what we think. Or we can take how we were raised. And it's not always 100% good the way we're raised, same to our kids if they're raised in the church. But nevertheless, which way are we gonna live? What if you have little kids telling you, yeah, you can't do nothing, you are a spitball, you know, what they do. Okay. What if you're picked on in school? Now, are we gonna dwell on that? Or do we say, let God be true and every man a liar? Which scripture, what is gonna come to us? What are we going to actually believe, hold on to, get rid of, or keep? It's up to us. It's up to us. And we have to say, I am going to see what God's Word says. I'm going to take all the positive. If there's wickedness out there, I'm going to recognize the wickedness. And I'm going to learn to hate that. And I'm going to learn to love righteousness. When you go to the psalm that was a prophecy of the coming of Jesus Christ, I think it was Psalm 46, 47, 48, about the reign of Christ. And it says, you hated wickedness, you loved righteousness. And it was talking about Solomon, but it was an analogy of Jesus Christ also. So we get to choose. When we have this tape, we can put in and we can put out. We can corrupt ourselves, or we can decide, I'm not going to be corrupted. We can use the internet properly, or we can use the internet totally, completely, improperly. We can have good friends. Here's what it's talking about in verse 33. Evil company or bad friends. We can choose the way of life. We can choose what is going to influence us. And that is all placed on this tape, this thumb drive. It's all placed there. And it's up to us to choose whether we want to have a right spirit or a wrong spirit. Verse 34, awake to righteousness and do not sin, is what God tells us. For some do not have the knowledge of God. I speak this to your shame. Now, if we want to be cleansed, if we want that spirit in man to be cleansed, let's finish off here in Psalm 51. Because here we have a guy named David, and David had sinned, and he knew he needed to be cleansed. So we're going to finish with 10 verses here from Psalm 51. Have mercy upon me, O God, verse 1, according to your loving kindness, according to the multitude of your tender mercies. Now, here's where I think when it comes to the spirit and man, God can blot out some things. God can blot out some things. Blot out my transgressions. Now, I think that's kind of like erase something off the tape. Erase it. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity. It's like having sin as dirt on our hands. And now we're asking God to wash our hands, make them clean. So we can do that. Cleanse me from my sin. Isn't this what God is doing? If we sin, and we really mean it, that is repentance, we really mean it, then God will cleanse us. I acknowledge my transgression, that which corrupted me, because we don't want a corrupted spirit. And my sin is ever before me. Against you only have I sinned and done evil in this in your sight. That you may be found just when you speak and blameless when you judge. I was brought forth in iniquity, in sin my mother conceived me, and I won't go into all the understanding on that, but the fact is, we are born as receptacles of Satan's nature. It's what we are. We are born neutral, by the way. We're not born where we are sinners the moment we come out of the womb. Behold, you desire truth in the inward part. That would be the spirit in man, wouldn't it? The inward part. And in the hidden part, you will make me to know wisdom. This is what God does. Purge me with hyssop, and I'll be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which you've broken may rejoice. Hide your face from my sins, and blot out all your iniquities. Then I'm ending here, but notice, create in me a clean heart. That'd be that heart of flesh, not a heart of stone. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a steadfast spirit within me. So we can ask God to work with our spirit. And this is what we want to do. So I hope we understand then a little bit more about who we are as human beings. That we are made in the image of God, that we have a spirit that can be connected with His spirit, that we can be changed, we can be cleansed, we can be perfected, and enter into the gift that we don't have and the hope that we are hoping for.